Today's reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Thank you, Jill.
Welcome to the second part of our series of six on renewal. This week our focus is on renewed blessing, and it is based on Paul's letter to Ephesians, chapter 1, which Jill just read to us. Paul established the church in Ephesus in the early AD 50s. When he stopped there on his second missionary journey. And then a couple of years later, he visited again on his third missionary journey and spent almost 3 years there. Paul was very passionate about the church in Ephesus. It's clear that he felt a very strong bond with the believers there. And when he wrote this letter, it was to encourage them. Although there was no specific threat to the Christians in Ephesus at that time, the conditions under Roman occupation did make life quite difficult for them. As our Paul Hills, described last week, Ephesus was a large cosmopolitan city, and the worship of Caesar and the Roman goddess Diana were at the center of society and the culture of that city. There was a large and imposing temple dedicated to Diana, and a great deal of society there, and the rituals, and let's be honest, the money-making processes, were all associated with that temple. And understandably, this made it difficult for the Christians, whose beliefs and values were fundamentally different and at odds with that culture. So Paul wanted to encourage them. And he did this by reminding them of what God has done for them and the blessings that they had received through their faith in Jesus Christ. This same message of encouragement that Paul gave to the believers in Ephesus 2,000 years ago is just as relevant to us today, because the Lord has given us the very same blessings for our culture. And it's just as relevant to our children and to our children's children, because God's blessings never change, and they are for all people for all time. So let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. The opening salutation that Paul gives to the believers is absolutely wonderful. In verse 1, he says, "To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." What a fantastic description to be called the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Straight away, this affirms the identity of the Ephesian believers. They are saints. They are God's holy people. And they should make no mistake about that whatsoever. Identity is important. It's a very topical issue in society today, as our society, sadly, apostates itself and turns further away from God. Then, predictably, it becomes more confused on even the most fundamental of issues. And we're seeing this now being worked out in this area of identity. God is a God of order. And if you take God out of the picture, chaos follows straight away. That's what we are seeing across our society. And the issue of identity is just one instance of that working out. Any group or organization that is uncertain of its identity will lose its way. That is for sure. And Paul deals with this for the believers in Ephesus in the best place possible. Chapter 1, verse 1. He states their identity. Be under no misapprehension. You are saints. You are God's holy people. Be confident and be certain in your identity. And that's true for us. We are saints. We are God's holy people. Be confident in who we are. Paul then goes on to ask that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would give the people grace and peace. He gives this greeting in many of his letters. If you read through them, you'll see it there time and time again. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace are two of the central characteristics of Jesus Christ. And as we grow in our faith and love of Christ, we show more and more of the grace and peace that come from Jesus Christ. Paul is willing this on the believers in Ephesus. And then after that salutation and the greetings, Paul then launches into an expression of It's overflowing joy. It's just sheer ebullience in describing how much God has done for us when we are in relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. His desire to get this message across is so great that in the original Greek, all of verses 13 to 14 are a single sentence of over 250 words. It's the longest sentence in the Bible, and it's as if he just couldn't stop writing. He was so overflowing with wanting to tell the believers in Ephesus every single blessing that has come to them through knowing God through Christ. It just came out of his pen and it didn't stop. It's the creators of our Bible that have chunked that up into sentences. So that's the message that Paul wants to get across. And the verses Paul sets out, the spiritual blessings that they have received from God, our Father, through Christ Jesus. Here they are. If you read those first few paragraphs of chapter 1, here they are. Come over the first slide, please, Matt. So, Malcolm told us the words of that hymn earlier on, to list our blessings and count them. Well, here are six blessings that are in Ephesians chapter 1. He has chosen us and adopted us into his family before the world was formed. That is absolutely staggering. Before there ever was anything, we were chosen and adopted into the family of God. Number two, he's forgiven our sins through Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that we've done, it's not beyond the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He has made us holy and without fault in his sight. That means that when God looks at us, he sees a holy people. That is just astonishing. He's given us all wisdom and understanding to live our lives, for him to see God at work in the world. That wisdom and understanding is available to us. He's united us with each other. Look around. And at a time to come, we will be united with all things in heaven and on earth under Jesus Christ. That's the end game. The first one, number one, the blessing number one, was the beginning. This is the end game. Yeah? And it's all coming together under Jesus Christ. And we're in it. He's given us eternal life. That takes us beyond the end game into eternity. And the Holy Spirit living within us is God's guarantee of all of this. They are six blessings that are there in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Just pause for a moment to consider what these blessings mean for us. They are of monumental significance in our lives. This is the big picture of everything God has ordained over all time. This is the history of the universe from start to finish. And through faith and trust in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our names are written in that history. If ever we have any doubts over our identity, our value, or our purpose, then put those doubts to one side immediately. Our identity is as sons and daughters in God's family. Our value is inestimable, because it cost God the Father the life of Jesus Christ, his Son, to give all of this to us. And our purpose is to give praise and glory to God. Not because God needs it, but because we need it to be complete human beings in exactly the way that God first made us in Genesis 1. It pleases God for us to live as he intended we should live. And God's done all this for us. We have not had to work for any of this. Our part is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to repent of our sin, and to follow him and trust him with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Now we can understand why Paul was so keen to get this message out to the believers in Ephesus. It is simply the most life-changing news there can possibly be. To think that we were chosen before the beginning of creation to be part of God's family and to be given an eternity with him, it turns our lives upside down compared to the world in which we live. And Paul wanted the believers in Ephesus to know this and to be encouraged by it. To lift their eyes above the nonsense of worshipping Caesar and this non-existent Diana, but to fix their attention on eternity in glory, standing in the presence of the sovereign Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, worshipping him in perfection. What God has done for us in bringing us into relationship with him through Jesus Christ is simply staggering in its impact on our lives. The idea that before all of creation, God knew that we as individuals would exist and that we would respond to Jesus' free gift of salvation is just more than we can comprehend. Our minds are limited. And the true magnitude of what God has done for us through Christ is beyond what we can comprehend. I'd just like to share a picture that I find helpful. I'm a scientist by trade, and I have a fondness for stars and astronomy. So, Matt, could we have the next picture, please? The creation account in Genesis 1 contains what I think is one of the most understated lines in the whole of Scripture. In verse 16, it says, "He also made the stars." Five words that describe an awful lot of stuff. Almost as if it was just a kind of in passing thing that he did, you know, one day whenever, when he was a kind of a little bit short of something to do. "I'm just going to make these stars." Bang, there they are. Here are some of the stars that God made. This is a picture from the James Webb Space Telescope, which is just a staggering scientific instrument. Please indulge me if I just get a bit enthusiastic about all of this. But I like this stuff. On this picture, there are around, if you look at the original on the NASA website, there's about 45,000 galaxies in this picture. And if you look at it, you can see some of the spiral arms of these galaxies, and God made all of this. And to think that before any one of those galaxies was created by God, God had decided that each of us sitting here today, on the 14th of January 2024 at Bluntisham Baptist Church, would be part of his family, and that we would spend eternity with him. That's just unbelievable. I find it helpful to look at pictures like this. You may not. If pictures like this don't do anything for you, then that's your loss, clearly. But I find it helpful to look at pictures like this and to think, you know, one day we are each going to meet the creator of all of that, face to face. And all those blessings that are in Ephesians chapter 1 will become real in a sense that we could never possibly imagine when that happens. When we meet our God and stand before him in a perfect relationship, when we've had all our sins once and for all, finally, forever, removed from us, it will be an experience that is more beautiful than anything we can ever possibly imagine. We just simply can't conceive of what it will be like. We can't put it into words. We can't put it into pictures. But that is the truth. That is how it is. And it's amazing. And to help us on our way, God has given us all wisdom and understanding to know him better, so that we can grow more like him day by day. This wisdom and understanding is to see the world from a spiritual perspective, to see God at work in all things, good and bad, and for our knowledge, understanding and love of God and his purposes to grow as we live our lives with him, along with our hope and confidence in the future to which he has called us. Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened so that we may know the hope to which Christ has called us, the riches of his inheritance and his incomparably great power. That is true wisdom and understanding. Science, pretty though it is, impressive. It's interesting. It generates knowledge. It helps us with a bit of tech. But wisdom and understanding come from God. So, what does all of this mean for us? This big picture perspective that Paul sets out in Ephesians 1 is an eternal perspective. It's our ultimate destiny in God's family. United with all believers, the renewed creation under the headship of Jesus Christ. That's Revelation 21. It's all in there. It's important and it influences how we lead our lives now. Again, last week, Paul touched on this. It's absolutely crucial. The mindset with which we view ourselves and our identity is crucial for how we behave and the values that we hold. What we believe about our future has implications for how we lead our lives today and the decisions we make. They have to be entirely consistent. Loving Jesus Christ, following his example, and living in unity as God's family, the church, must be our highest priority. So, practically, in church life, week by week, let's make that our perspective. Let's worship and magnify our holy and eternal God in everything we do. Let our mission work encompass the whole of God's family around the world. Let our prayers uplift the entirety of God's creation. Let us seek greater personal holiness in our own lives as individuals and in our corporate life as the church. And let us be inclusive in our outreach so that nobody is lost. Inclusivity is another important topic in society today. It tends to be used in the context of ensuring no form of discrimination against one of the 9 protected characteristics set out in the Equality Act. In the very well-known John 3:16, where it says, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The word "whoever" really does mean whoever. That is anyone in the whole world, regardless of any characteristic, distinction, labeling, categorization, or whatever that society may apply. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. That's the most inclusive anyone could ever possibly be, because absolutely nobody is excluded. Salvation through Jesus Christ is available to absolutely everybody. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will want to know more about him. Believing in Jesus and being indifferent to him just doesn't happen. And when we know more about Jesus Christ, we want to, and we do, become more like him. It happens. It's the Holy Spirit, God's guarantee of our salvation, working within us. So as Christians, our approach to inclusivity is from the perspective of wanting everyone to become more like Jesus Christ. The whole united family of Jesus Christ becoming more like Jesus Christ, putting behind us everything that makes us do things for our own satisfaction or gratification, and doing only those things that are good, wholesome, and honouring to our holy God. So in the thoughts that we think, the actions we take, the words that we say, as individuals and as the family of God, we should always be asking whether they are honouring to God. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account of our lives, are we confident that this thing we are doing, this principle we are supporting, this policy that has our affirmation, is honouring to our holy God? In the words of Paul again in 1 Corinthians 3:12, are we building with gold and silver, or are we building with hay and straw that will be burned up in the judgment day fire? As Christians, our source of truth in all situations of what is right and what is wrong, what is judgment day gold or judgment day straw, if I can use the picture that Paul says, is the Word of God. The Bible is the inspired and the infallible Word of God. We must always turn to God's Word and be guided by it, especially when we are uncertain or when we have differences in interpretations, differences in context, differences in perspective, and which need to be resolved in order for us to make a decision. It is in the Bible, and only in the Bible, that we find truth. But in all things, let's hold a clear view of our priorities, focusing on our eternal calling in Christ Jesus and our adoption by grace as sons and daughters in his family, the church. And as Paul encouraged the believers in Ephesus, let us too be encouraged by the spiritual blessings that God has given us in Christ Jesus. This is the big picture of the whole created order, heaven and earth, in which God has graciously given each of us an eternal home to give praise and glory to him in accordance with his pleasure and will. Thanks be to God. Amen.